child was lucky to marry. Comments and questions? Call 1-800-684-2848 or 716-883-5000.
Reuben and Sue, they had nothing but Jesus, and at night they would pray that he cared for them each. And the rain came down, and it blew the...
I don't think I've heard this music return before, and then I look up and I realize it's a song called Two Sets of Joneses. And so if we're going to be talking about ditching the Joneses, this is a very appropriate song. Steve-O's always thinking on the other side of the glass there. Well done, Steve-O. Good job. Yeah, Ditch the Joneses. And the author, Kathy Breeze Dobler, back in studio with us to talk about it yet again. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, Neil.
You're a busy person. You're here, there, and everywhere. I catch up once in a while, like on Facebook. I see what's going on. But you were on some kind of vacation recently?
I was. My husband and I went on a vacation. We had a great time. It was
really
beautiful weather, and we really enjoyed it, especially now when it's so cold.
Yeah, oh, I know. So we're all jealous that you went and that you had a good time. So people who can thrive on less than two incomes can even go on a vacation?
Absolutely, even a really nice vacation. We knew we were going on this trip. Actually, originally we had about 5 years that we knew we were going to be going out, you know, ahead of time, and
right.
It turned out to be 6 years. So we knew a long time in advance that we were going to do this with a group of friends, and so had time to plan, and it was a beautiful thing. It was a great time, and
all right. I'm going to say something that's kind of off the beaten path, but I think it applies. There really is value in waiting for some things, isn't there? We live in a society that says we need everything right now.
Right.
And the proof of that is that when you try to get your email to load or something and it takes longer than 3 seconds,
mm-hmm.
you're like, what? What's going on?
You start yelling at it.
Yeah. Because it took 3 seconds to get the mail. And I remember as a kid, you know, during the summer, you'd meet a cute girl at Crystal Beach or something, and you'd write her a letter,
mm-hmm.
and it would take like a week to get there. If she was in Canada, it would take about a month.
Right.
And then she'd write you back, send a postcard or something. But the value of setting aside some money, maybe you want to
mm-hmm.
get a set of bicycles to ride, you know, as a family or something. You don't have to put it on the credit card.
Right.
You can actually store some money up and wait, and there's value in that. And I don't know, I just kind of glad to hear that somebody actually set money aside for a vacation and took some time to plan it.
Right,
it's
and
really
it's
cool.
So much less stress that way then, too, when
yeah.
you know that you'll be able to handle it and it's not going to be something looming over you forever.
So how did you get to be so old-fashioned?
I had some values instilled in me by my parents. I think that was the first place that I learned it. You know, my father actually was an accountant and dealt with money and did a really good job of teaching me from a young age. I can still remember him teaching me how to do my first checkbook and how to balance it. And I also watched them. You know, they were practical people. They didn't overspend. And my father in particular also noticed other families in need. I can remember a time when I found out that my bicycle wasn't there anymore. But it was an older bicycle that I didn't need, and it had been given to somebody else. So not only was he careful with the money we spent, but he also was thinking about others. And so it was nice to watch both of my parents in action.
Well, I don't want to overstate this, but it seems like the principles that are in your book, and we've talked about them on a couple of occasions, are in some ways old-fashioned, but I don't mean that in a negative sense. I just mean
mm-hmm.
it's not popular to think this way anymore, but boy, is it effective.
Right. It's really not what the mainstream culture is about. It's a very anti-culture, actually.
Right.
It's just so different from what the typical is, and what the message typically is from advertising and marketing is usually trying to get you to spend, and so this is so opposite of that view.
So you're a hippie. Right? I mean, anti-culture. I mean, think about it. She's not just an author. She's starting a movement. I like it.
Oh,
that's cool.
I've never thought of it that way, though.
I bet you haven't. And you're probably sorry I mentioned that, but I had to go there because it seemed like the right thing to say at that time. So describe the book. We've talked about it, but there's many, I'm sure, that haven't heard, you know, the basics of what's in Ditch the Joneses. But this is, in many ways, not only your life story, but it's a message we all need to hear.
Right. It is a book basically about financial management, but it's a very practical level. It's for families, in particular couples who want to look through their financial decisions and decide if they can live on less. Like you had mentioned earlier, there's so much pressure to spend money that people get drawn into it, and then it's like they can't get out. But this book is really designed to help people look at how to prioritize, look at how to budget, look at how to save money, and where are they going to now spend and or cut their funds, and taking a look at all of those different issues around their finances. So they, as a family, can work better as a unit, and as a couple, they can have a happier marriage ultimately, because they're not fighting over money, which is the number one thing people fight about.
We were talking with some friends recently about sports and the cost of sports these days. Because in the old days, you know, if you wanted to learn how to play sports, you went to the playground and hung out with your friends. Now you have to have a personal trainer and go to these elite, you know, travel kind of team experiences. And I'm not putting them down. You know, my kids were involved in some of that to some degree. But I remember one year when Zach, he was a pretty good pitcher growing up and ended up playing right up into college as a pitcher. But there was an opportunity that was came his way. Somebody asked if he wanted to be on this elite travel team. And the cost for getting involved was $5,000. They'd be able to play a couple of elite tournaments, they were called. I mean, they throw that word elite in there like, this is the cream of the crop thing. And if you miss it, you know, if your son misses this, there's no hope for his future, okay, ever. That's the mentality that goes along with it. But the idea was if you just join this team, it's only $5,000. He'll get a chance to play in tournaments in front of pro scouts. What really isn't said is that a lot of those things are traps. I'm not saying they all are, but from my experience, and I've been around a lot of sports in my life, you know, there's a massive amount of peer pressure that if your kid is the one who's left out, you know, forget about it, okay? So a lot of people jump into these things. They pay $5,000. They go to an event, and there's some pro scouts that show up. Mm-hmm. All to watch the one kid who grew up in Rochester, New York, not anybody from the Buffalo area. You know, and there maybe is a real prospect among them.
Right.
But it's so few and far between. And so these things become huge money-making things. And we just throw our money at it because we feel we have to keep up with the Joneses. You know, and that's just in the sports arena. But then, you know, I'm thinking of teenage girls with clothing, right? And then electronics. Somebody said they heard a five-year-old the other day. Actually, it's a teacher. And, you know, the kids, when they come in, they have to put away their cell phones and their iPads.
Right.
And at 5 years old, her comment was, wow, you have cell phones and iPads. And they were complaining because they weren't the latest versions.
Oh.
At 5 years old, you know? Okay.
Right.
So I realize I'm kind of on a little bit of a rant and maybe off the beaten path just a little bit. But I guess what I'm getting at is the mentality that says we need all this stuff.
Right.
And in many ways, you're saying, think again.
Right. Or even just think about it differently. For example, the electronics. I think there's this assumption that parents just should buy it for their children. But indeed, there's a lot of opportunity for kids to earn the money and pay for them themselves. My oldest son paid for half of his iPod. We made an agreement that it would become a communication tool for us. And he paid for half of it, and it means that he's going to take a lot better care of it. I can guarantee that. And a few years ago, he bought his own DS. He paid for the entire thing himself, and he has taken such good care of that.
DS?
His own, his Nintendo DS.
So. Oh, okay. Right. I'm 53, and I'm way out of it. Okay, go ahead.
But, I mean, the idea was that he had the opportunity to earn money, and that's that's one of the ways we teach them about money management in our household, is letting him earn money. And, all you know, both of my kids do that, and then letting them spend their money. And he had enough and paid for it himself and takes really good care of it because of that.
What you're saying sounds a lot like what I've heard from Kevin Lehman in the past, Dr. Kevin Lehman, who's a marriage and parenting expert. And I remember during the course of several conversations, people would call in and say, you know, I've got this problem because technology is advancing so rapidly and my kids want to keep up with it and stuff. And so, you know, my 12-year-old saying, I want to, you know, the latest Nintendo or whatever it is. What do I do? And his response was, the answer is yes, you can have it. Here's a piggy bank.
Yeah.
Start saving.
Absolutely.
And as soon as you have enough, the answer is yes, you may have it. And it's really, in a way, the end of the conversation. Because the kids ultimately are saying, I want you to buy it.
Sure they are.
But if they really want it, they'll save it up. And what a great experience that would be.
Right. And they make, when they learn that at a young age, then they make better decisions when they're older, because they've learned when they're younger to make those mistakes. Like, if one of my kids spends all of his money on something and then can't buy the next thing they want, they've learned it, but they've learned it before they're 21 years old and could really do some damage. So, I mean, when they're younger, it's a great time to teach them those lessons.
How can a family really get by on one income these days, though? Isn't that impossible?
It's not impossible. It's challenging sometimes. It depends on your situation going into it also. There's a lot of different things you can do, though. I obviously included them in the book, but one of the first things you would do is prioritize. So when you prioritize as a family, you're looking at what is important to us as a family. And you could spend time talking about those things, because your priorities may change over time. There may be things that you and your spouse, for example, really got into and did before children arrived. And then once children arrive, you may decide, well, maybe we're not going to do so much of that particular activity anymore, and we're going to do something else that can be more family oriented. So your priorities on how you spend your time and your money change. So that's the first thing you do, is you make sure you're talking about your priorities and what's really important. And then you take a look at how you're spending. Put together a budget. What are you spending money on? And in my book, I lay out how you can do that. And you can look at, when you're spending your money, are you spending money on things that are needs? Are you spending money on things that are wants? Typically, people are spending money on both. But they're thinking about those wants as needs. And really, there's not that many needs in this world. Things that we truly need to survive is what a need is.
See, that's the pebble in the shoe right there. I'm convinced. Because in this culture and the way things are right now, everything feels like a need.
And it goes back to that immediacy you mentioned earlier. Like, we get upset when an email is not an immediate response from somebody. It's the same thing with money. We get upset when we can't have something right away. And it's part of the culture, and there's so much pressure for that. That you really have to literally kind of separate yourself from that as a family and really focus on what it is important for you.
I feel like I'm repeating myself a lot now, because some of these things I know I talked about recently and I can't remember what context it was in. But as a, for instance, playing Little League Baseball one year with the Lincoln Park Lions in the town of Tonawanda. We won the championship one year. And the coach put us all in the back of his pickup truck and took us to Dairy Queen. And we all got a chance to have a Mr. Misty. It was like the forerunner to the Slurpee, okay?
Yeah.
And he paid for it. Now, at the time, one of those was probably, what, 50 cents or something? I don't know.
Right.
Just guessing. So for a team of 12 kids, it was $6. You know, he really went all out. But that was maybe $30 today,
right,
in today's dollars. In any case, we got a treat after we won the championship. And then we got a trophy because we won the championship. Today, every kid who participates gets a trophy, even if the team goes 0-50 for the season, you know? And everyone gets a token for a free ice cream after the game, but some kids turn them in and go after their mom and dad so they can get, like, a full Happy Meal kind of thing. And some of the parents bring the Happy Meals into the dugout, and the kids eating, you know, what do they call it? Chicken wing? What are those? Chicken finger slam. That's what it's called. I'm looking at Zach, because I know going way back to Little League. And Zach and Ben and my boys could read my mind. When somebody would bring a chicken finger slam into the dugout and give it to their 8-year-old during the game, I can't even process that kind of thing. But it's the mentality that says that this is what normal life looks like. I remember growing up, and it was a big deal if you could find a gas station that had a pop machine or a soda machine, whatever you want to call it. And it was a big treat on a vacation to get a soda while you're in the car.
Right.
But today, these convenience stores, you know, you can shop for apparel. Well, it's not just candy and all that, those items. I mean, you can shop for apparel while
right.
you're in these places. So everything has changed. And I think that, you know, a lot of this stuff probably was common sense 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But today we have to write books about it. Thankfully you did. But these are some really valuable ideas. It just takes some effort to get back moving in that direction.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of the book is very much based on common sense. And what's great about it is, when I did the research for the book, I didn't just take things that I had learned from my own family experience and from that my spouse had learned from his family experience, but we also I also surveyed other parents who were doing the similar kind of idea, which was they had gone from two incomes down to 1.5, or two incomes down to one income, or just less hours, and how did they make it work? And I took their ideas also and included them in the book. And that's why it's got so much common sense, because it's pulling from lots of people who have done it mm-hmm. and succeeded at it.
All right. Well, we've got a long way to go and a lot to dig into here. One of the things I want to mention is we've got some copies of Ditch the Joneses, Discover Your Family, to give away today. The subtitle is How to Thrive on Less Than Two Incomes. And we're going to be as practical as possible. Kathy Breeds-Dobler is an expert in these areas. And she's done a great job of chronicling not only her own journey, but the journey of friends and loved ones in how to actually thrive on less than two incomes and reorient oneself, reprioritize to be able to make this kind of thing happen. It's valuable information, particularly for families that are faced with not only economic struggle, but at the same time, competition for time, family time together, prioritizing family life with life outside the home, you know, things like Little League and piano recital and all of those. It all comes into play when you start talking about this. And so we want to kind of open it up here and have some open and honest conversation about this issue. So we've got some books we'll be giving away to those who participate in today's conversation, and we'd love to have you join us if you'd like. 1-800-684-2848. 800-684-2848 in the greater Buffalo area, 883-5000. Kathy Breeds-Dobler in studio with us. We'll be back after this word from financial expert Caesar Lauper. He's a certified financial planner in the GTA.
Everyone has a dream. Everyone dreams about the kind of life they hope to live when they retire. What is your dream for you and your spouse? How do you see your life after you've stepped away from your career? Think about it. Where do you want to live? Do you want to travel more? How do you want to use the money you saved after all those years of working? Proper planning now will get you closer to your dreams. The right certified financial planner will get you to live your dreams. Caesar Lauper of IPC Investment Corporation is the certified financial planner you need to help achieve your financial goals. You have a dream when you retire? Caesar Lauper will help you live it. Call Caesar today to set up an appointment at 1-866-551-7374. That's 1-866-551-7374. You can also hear Caesar on his show, Money Matters, at 10 a.m. every Saturday here on WDCX. Caesar Lauper, your certified financial planner in the GTA.
It's that time of year, and we'd like to help you plan for your special day as we present our 22nd annual Wedding Band Weekend at Firth Jewelers, March 6th, 7th, and 8th. Hi, I'm Tom Laurie, inviting you to join us for this exciting event. We've made special arrangements with Art Carb, Natalie Kay, Gabriel, and other designers to have on display hundreds of distinctive, exquisitely crafted wedding bands, all at 30% off Firth's already affordable prices. The collection includes platinum, 14-karat gold, diamond, titanium, and tungsten carbide wedding bands. Wedding Band Weekend, Thursday, March 6th and Friday, March 7th, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Saturday, March 8th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. WDCX listeners, be sure to register for a drawing for a $250 gift certificate. Layaways are welcome. Financing is available. Stop into Firth Jewelers, 2435 Military Road in Niagara Falls, New York. If it's new in jewelry, it's at Firth Jewelers.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Can you share it with all of us? Call 1-800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
All right, as always, your questions and comments are welcome. And as we dig in here with Kathy Breeds-Dobler, talking about her book, Ditch the Joneses, Discover Your Family, How to Thrive on Less Than Two Incomes. Those of you who join us with questions or comments are going to be eligible to win a copy, and we've got several we'll be giving away. So if we have more questions and comments than we have books, we'll have to randomly draw some names. But either way, you've got a shot at winning one of these things. 1-800-684-2848, 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area. And Lorraine from Scarborough, where we were yesterday, has a question or a comment about how to survive on one income. How you doing, Lorraine?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. And how are you?
Very good, thanks. And we were up in your area yesterday. Tell us what's on your mind.
Oh, what's on my mind? This is my struggle, and I'm in the same situation. I would like to know, how can you survive on one income, especially when you're doing two part-time jobs? You have a mortgage. You have 2 months to feed.
Are you married, Lorraine?
Yes.
Okay.
Ending up with going towards the credit cards.
Yeah.
I'd like to get some strategy.
Okay.
Because
strategy.
I'm doing it on my own, and it's not working.
What do you? Okay, so your husband isn't helping with regard to this. You're saying?
He's retired,
mm-hmm.
and my son is 12, so basically he's home with me, and I'm the one who's doing it. I don't mind doing it for him because over the years he did it for me, right? He used to do it for me, and then this is a time now when things make a turn, so...
I'm just curious, your husband still lives at home. I mean, he's
yes.
with you. Okay, he's part of the family. But he's retired. Does he have some kind of government income or retirement coming in?
Yeah, but you don't get much.
Okay.
So I'm the more stronger one, just trying to do the best I can.
And you're working two jobs?
Yes.
Wow.
And Lorraine, is your income, would you say it's a fixed income, meaning that it stays about the same every month, or does it change?
It changes.
Okay. So my first suggestion, Lorraine, would be to make sure that your family puts together a budget. And in particular for your family, your budget would have to be one that considers how your budget can change by month.
Yes.
So you would want to put together a list of everything that you spend money on. Okay? So brainstorm a list of everything that you spend money on. And then next to that, you would want to put down whatever are going to be the monthly costs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would want to take a look at which of those things are for your survival. They're absolutely critical. They're things that your family cannot survive without. And those you would call your needs. Those should be the number one things on your list that you are making sure that you pay for.
Okay, but like groceries. I mean, you got to eat.
Right, you got to eat. You mentioned you have a mortgage that would fall under a need. You need to have somewhere to live, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, your mortgage could change if you downsized, but your mortgage or a place to live would be part of your needs. Then everything else on your list is what I would call a want. It's not for your survival, but it's nice to have. You enjoy having it. And spend some time looking at those wants and see if there's anything that you could cut, even if it's a monthly cut. Because your income is different by month, it might be that in the month of January, you might have more income, and so you could handle paying for a couple of those wants. But in February, things might be more tight, and so you know that ahead of time, and you need to cut them from your budget. But you'd want to do this as a family so that you and your spouse are all on board with this. It's not just you trying to do it alone, but together you know the budget and you know what's going to fall under the needs versus wants.
All right, what about when you're talking about wants, things that come to my mind, cable television, magazine subscriptions, and there's a million things. It could be, really in some ways, it could be excess stuff. It could be... It could be ice cream is a want.
Going out to dinner would be a want.
Yeah. Because I'm saying, you know, when you go, for instance, we said groceries is a need.
Right.
But we don't need all the groceries we're bringing home, maybe, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And absolutely, there's even smart ways to go through the grocery store and shop in a more effective, efficient way. And actually, I made suggestions like that right in my book of some of the things you want to do. For example, typically in a store, you want to go around the perimeter. You want to make sure you get your vegetables and fruits because you need that to be healthy. But a lot of times the things in the center of the store are the extras, like the Doritos and the Oreo cookies, the things that are going to be
not as
healthy. But
are you saying no Oreos?
Well, maybe Oreos in January, but not February. No, they would fall under the want category. And so you have to think about what's more important. Is it more important to pay the electric bill, or is it more important to get those expensive cookies or ice cream bars that you really enjoy?
Okay, and if you're going to do this, you said it's possible, it's just not necessarily easy.
No, it's definitely not easy. And there have been times in our life when my husband and I first started this out when, you know, we really had to make some difficult decisions about things to cut. And it's not fun cutting it from your budget, but it comes back down to your priorities. And what as a family do you want to make sure you're spending your money on? So those priorities are really important to talk about.
Okay. Lorraine, thanks for your phone call. We're going to get to Renee, Sharon, and the rest of you in a moment. 1-800-684-2848. 883-5000. Like I said, everyone who joins us with a question or comment is going to get a chance to win a copy of Ditch the Joneses, Discover Your Family. It's about how to thrive on less than two incomes, and the author is Kathy Breeze Dobler. She's been my guest on a couple of occasions. Got her back with us today. 1-800-684-2848, 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area. Today's program brought to you by Eden Meskinow, a trusted real estate professional in the GTA. Thinking about buying or selling a home and you need some help? Call Eden Meskinow today.
Do you have a home in the GTA you want to sell? Then you need to call WDCX's exclusive realtor, Eden Meskinow. She has buyers ready and waiting to find the perfect home. Buyers are looking for homes that have at least two bedrooms, located within a 50-minute commute to downtown Toronto, with an asking price of under $450,000. Eden also has buyers looking for two- to five-bedroom homes in Newmarket, Vaughan, Thornhill, and Richmond Hill in a price range of $450,000 to $899,000. If you're ready to put your home on the market, call Eden today at 416-918-5979. That's 416-918-5979. Or with any of your real estate inquiries in the GTA. Log on to our website, edenforrealestate.com. That's Eden, the number 4, realestate.com. Don't forget to let Eden know you heard about her on WDCX. Eden Meskinow, WDCX's exclusive realtor in the GTA.
Many individuals who seek refuge at the Buffalo City Mission find themselves lost in the cold and darkness this winter. Their lives are in turmoil, and they're on the edge of despair. But Jesus can surely help them overcome the obstacles in their lives and light their path to a better future. John 8:12 says, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life.'" This winter, for just $1.98, you can provide not only a hot, nurturing meal, but you'll also give a gift that symbolizes hope for each person who comes through the doors at the Buffalo City Mission. That meal can be the first step in starting a new life. Donate a meal today. Just go to WDCXradio.com and click on the Buffalo City Mission button on our homepage. It'll take you directly to their donation page. Your support really can make a difference. Buffalo City Mission, restoring lives since 1917.
For years, you've needed a dental implant. With all the estimates you've received, you're concerned with the cost. It's time for a real second opinion from WDCX's dental implant expert, Dr. Musa. Here's longtime listener Howard Brown to share his story.
I needed an implant when I was a teenager. I had just one tooth extracted. I had to get a number of estimates. The cost was astronomical. I was excited when I heard about this dentist who was a Bible-believing Christian, and he was cost-effective. Based on the fact that I've been receiving all these estimates and now speaking with Dr. Musa, I was blown away when he told me how much it was going to cost me to do the implant. I went back and the procedure was done. You know, my smile moved from great to excellent.
Call Dr. Paul Musa today at 416-466-1466 for your free implant consultation. That's 416-466-1466. Dr. Paul Musa of Metro East Dental Center for full smile dental care.
Well, all my deeds and my good name.
Got something to say? Call us at 1-800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Because all you ever wanted, all you ever wanted, all you ever wanted was my heart. Freedom's arms are open, my chains have all been broken. Relentless love has caught me from the start, and all you wanted was my heart.
Sure was nice to have Casting Crowns in concert here last weekend. Music from the Thrive LP, All You've Ever Wanted. We've got Kathy Breeze Dobler in studio with us, and we were just talking. I'm not going to say the full name here, but you have a friend that you worked with, but her married name is Jones now.
Mm-hmm.
And you were friends, before she was married, right?
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now that she's married, her last name is Jones, and then you went ahead and named a book called Ditch the Joneses.
Okay. Right.
But then got reconnected with her.
Right.
after she's married, has she ever commented on this?
No, I don't know. I'm not sure if she... I don't know. She never made the connection. I have friends who have the last name Jones, and they're still friends with me, so...
Well, I know who she is. So listen, I'm the one who made the connection. If she's mad at anybody, tell her to be mad at me.
Because
this was of no fault of yours that you happen to name the book that. All right, let me get back to it here. And I guess Sharon's been on hold the longest, so we'll get to you. Renee, right after that, and Charmaine and the rest of you. Hey, Sharon, how are you?
Good, doing fine.
Yeah, what's up?
I have an interesting situation. I got married late in life, probably about age almost 36, and we ended up having like 7 kids. Well, we're homeschooling them all, and I figured it out that my littlest one, who's what, about 8, I'll be about 69 by the time I retire, you know, homeschooling, whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're on one income anyway. We probably make $1,000 less than we should per month. And we've probably cut out everything we could cut out. And my thought was, you know, we probably should have a little extra income. And so my thought was I wanted to do something from home somehow. At the same time, I've got to, you know, homeschool as well. And so I just wondered if you had any ideas about that.
Actually, there have been quite a few people who responded to my survey who some of the things they did was work from home.
Right.
And so
I figure that's what I'm going to have to do because my husband can only make so much money, you know, in his situation. So
have you ever spent time, Sharon, thinking about what some of your skills are or what you're interested
in? Well, I was a secretary when I was young, so mm-hmm. I type a zillion miles an hour. So I was thinking maybe I could do something with computer, but I don't know, like, really how to look into it. But, you know, there's probably something that I could do. My point is that, you know, I don't want to spend too much time doing it, but even if I just brought in a little income, it would probably be helpful, you know. Mm-hmm. And besides that, my husband's going to retire probably within the next 1 to 4 years, he said. And I'm going, oh, how are we going to live on that, honey? So that's why I was thinking now
right.
that I really want to kind of get out there and maybe do a little something from home while I'm homeschooling and doing everything else. So.
Well, I don't know how you arrived at the $1,000 a month thing.
Oh,
but
yeah. Well, in talking to like a financial advisor and also doing a budget, like I know pretty much how to do a budget, but it never balances, never.
Well, $1,000 is a lot of money, but what I was going to say is it's about $250 a week, and that's not impossible if you're thinking about trying to do something from home. So she really probably should explore that. And I don't know, Kathy, you know, what you'd say about this, but I think that these kind of questions need to begin with prayer because God knows, He promises to supply our needs. So He may have something
so
in mind that He can reveal to you when you're ready to see it, but I think that there's sort of a yieldedness that kind of has to go along with this whole thing because if you're going to make it work, it's going to be because of a lot of different factors, and that means cooperation on the part of your husband and your family. And
And I know the big thing, too, is that, like, we've always tithed, and I know that's why we've made it. It's the only reason we've made it is we've tithed all this way through, and we trusted. And somehow, some way, every month we just seem to make it.
He's always brought you through.
Skin of our teeth.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I agree, Neil. Yeah. I would make that suggestion as well. I mean, we're reminded in James that if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. And so when you're praying and you're listening and really with a whole heart asking God for guidance, you know, you'll receive that guidance. And so if there really is something that you could be doing to contribute, that would be the first place to start is your relationship with God and where His direction is for you.
Yeah, and, I appreciate that.
All right, Sharon, thank you. And some people may consider that kind of conversation to be just, you know, Christian cliche talk, but it's not. When Mary and I moved to Washington, D.C., we took our family there, and I worked for Focus on the Family for 2 years. When we did the budget prior to moving, and it was a lean budget, it was also a red letter budget, you know, meaning we were moving knowing that we were unable to pay all of our bills, but felt that God was in it, and this was what He was calling us to. During those 2 years, somehow, miraculously, we were able to save $4,000 and move back to Buffalo with money in the bank that we didn't have in the first place. And I think that what happened, I mean, God supplied. The bottom line, as soon as we moved there, Mary took the kids to a pediatrician who said, "What do you do for a living?" She said, "Well, I used to be a pediatric nurse, but I'm raising the kids." And the woman said, "Well, I need somebody to help in the office on Saturdays. Would you be willing to be a nurse on Saturdays?" Mary talked to me about it. I was going to be home with the kids on Saturdays. So she was able to work while I was with the children. The kids were never left with a babysitter in those kind of settings. God immediately worked that out. Her cousin was a dentist in the near Washington, D.C. I had dental coverage, but not complete coverage. He said, I'm your cousin. Whatever the insurance covers is great. The rest of it's on me. So, I mean, we didn't know that moving down there, but and it was little things like that. I mean, there's a million things I could tell you about what happened when we were there, but I guess the point is, by surrendering these things to the Lord and saying, God, we want to seek your advice, your input, you know, Kathy, God has a way of working this out in ways we can't see in advance, mm-hmm. but when we're saying we want you to be in control of our decision-making and we're trusting our future to you, God's able. He's just able, right?
Absolutely. So, that's I love those stories. Those are great, great practical illustrations of how it really happens. And it's just those, you know, going down to the detail, you think about the dental bills and that's that amount that she was able to make on those Saturdays and all added up, like you said, and you wound up bringing more money home.
The other thing I didn't even mention, Focus on the Family is a huge, I don't know how big it is today, but it's a huge organization. There's like 1,200 employees. I was one of the only few employees who didn't live in Colorado Springs because mm-hmm. I was a reporter for them on the East Coast. And they said, everybody at your pay grade level, we decided is underpaid. We're giving you all a raise. So 2 weeks after taking the job, I got a fairly significant raise. Not
great.
Huge, but, you know.
It all makes a difference.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it was like God said, I got you covered. No
That's
problem.
That's great.
So, Sharon, thanks for the phone call. We want to get to Renee real quick, and then we'll take a break. Charmaine, right after that. We're just be patient. We'll get to you as quick as we can. All right, Renee, you had a question or a comment?
I had a question.
Go ahead.
So thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to ask Kathy about where, and you just kind of brought it up a little bit about where practicality and trusting God to provide meat. So my husband, who's probably listening right now, my husband and I both work and we're planning for a family. The only debt we have is a mortgage. The only bills we literally have are utilities. We don't even pay for internet, cable, cell phones. So we're fairly bare bones. So right now we can live on just one income, and of course this is without children, so and after children obviously your costs will increase and there's a significant increase in health insurance and all that kind of stuff. So I just kind of struggle with how responsible it is to, you know, quit my job and stay at home knowing that there won't be enough money. And you know, you kind of mentioned, well, you did that move without enough money. Is it enough to just trust God?
All right, let me start because she's referring to the move. I want to say this word of caution. This isn't something we failed to pray about. We bathed this in prayer, and there was some fear and trepidation because, you know, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things you cannot yet see, you know. So if you're really living by faith, there is an aspect to it that says it's not going to make sense, and the bottom line isn't going to add up. The Bible also says, by the way, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. He wants us to live in a state of dependence upon him. So in any decision, I think it's important that we say, is this all about me and my comfort zone? Can I figure all this out on my own? Because if there's a lot of that going on, then I'd question whether or not we're really living by faith. And by the way, I'm not saying this in condemnation of anyone. I'm saying that that's been our experience, to have to learn that lesson along the way. And when we have been willing to trust God and to say, Lord, we can't see the end from the beginning, but we believe that it's you that's leading us. We've had a million signs of confirmation here. A lot of people have spoken into our lives. A lot of folks are praying for us. We don't understand it, but we have incredible peace. We have such peace about this decision. And even though the bottom line right now doesn't add up, we believe you're going to provide for us. There was a lot that went into getting to that point. It wasn't a flip decision to just say, this is what we really want to do, and we don't care that the bottom line doesn't add up. We're just going to go do it because this is really cool, man. We get to move to Washington. That was not our attitude at all. It was a willingness to trust God and follow after him. So I'd caution you in those ways. Make sure that whatever it is you would be planning on doing is something God is clearly leading you to do. Bathe it in prayer. Share it with your friends who love Jesus. Talk to your pastor about it. You know, make this a real family issue and say, God, you know, we lack some wisdom here, and we believe that if we pray and we seek your face, you'll give us that wisdom. As Kathy, you know, quoted earlier from Scripture, the verse in Hebrews. But I know Kathy has some other things she wants to say. I just wanted to kind of answer my part of it to help you understand what our thinking was going into that decision. But Kathy, she's raised some really practical questions here.
Renee, let me just clarify. You said that you're both currently working?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things you could do now while you're both still working is take some time to look at that second income, whatever your lower income is. So of the two of you, whichever one's making the least amount of money, take a look at that second income and figure out what your actual costs are for working. There's a chapter in my book called Can You Afford to Work? And it looks at the actual costs of working. So when you look at your income at the end of a paycheck, you know, take a look at how much of your income taxes are coming out, your Social Security, your Medicare, and then think about what are the additional costs? How much do you spend in mileage every week getting to work? How much do you spend for a second car if you have one in order to have that second job? How much do you spend on dry cleaning if you wear professional clothes? Do you spend a certain amount of money on lunches out or convenience foods, ordering foods, gifts for work parties, housekeeping, things like that? And I mean, these are just some ideas. And add up those costs. Because, you know, it's really interesting because when you look at your salary, you have to remember that there's also costs associated with working. And so you might have a different number to look at what you're really bringing home. In my book, I was able to show somebody who makes about $40,000 a year. And when I added in all those costs, and in that case, I included childcare. You don't have children yet, but when you do, you might, you know, have childcare costs. The actual work expenses were $38,000, about, you know, with some change in there. So the actual income for that person was only $1,700 a year out of a $40,000 salary.
So you go to work the entire year in order to come out $1,700 ahead.
Right, right. And that's for the second income. That's when you're looking at the second income. So think about that, Renee. I mean, there's some costs in there that you may want to just consider.
So what you're saying to her is it may not be as daunting of a decision as she thinks.
Right. I mean, that's one of the things that made it work for my husband and I. You know, I was earning a full-time income, and it was, you know, a decent income. So we were going to be losing a good amount of money. And so we thought about it ahead of time. We looked at my costs. We had kind of made a decision that one of us would be home with the kids and that we would try and make it work. Luckily, in my case, I was in a field where I could try and start my own business part-time, and I did that, but I didn't really get it going much till the kids were probably 2-3 years old. So those first couple of years, we really were living more on just one income. But we planned first, and we made some major decisions and paid for some things ahead of time, knowing that change was coming. Such as a new roof. We paid that off before I quit my job.
Well done. All right, Renee, hopefully that's some helpful direction, at least get you started thinking in the right direction. And
yes.
If she wants, or anyone wants more information, talk about, we've got the website listed on our Facebook page and at WDCXradio.com, but is there any site you want to mention?
Well, there's two places. If you're looking for a paper copy book, the best place to get that is at my website. It's ditchthe.com. If you're looking for an electronic, like you had mentioned earlier, the video ebook, and that one has some additional features in it, you can get that on the Nook or on the Kindle. But actually, the best place to go for it is to look at the Vook store. So you would go, in that case, to store.vook.com.
V-O-O-K?
V-O-O-K, yep. And then you would actually just search for Ditch the Joneses, Discover Your Family on that site. But the ditchthe.com is where you'd find the paper copy.
When you start talking about that, I have no clue what you're even saying. But yeah, I imagine all of our technologically savvy
people,
listeners know what's
tablet
going on.
Tablet people would probably want to go to the
Thank you for
site.
Listening, tablet people. You people. All right, Renee, thanks. God bless you. And we'll be back with Charmaine in a moment. If you want to join us, it's 1-800-684-2848. 800-684-2848 in the greater Buffalo area. 883-5000. Back with Kathy Breeze Dobler after this word from Christian chiropractor Dr. Dimitri.